John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, we're not going there, but it reads, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Our Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can change that to the Word is God. How can we say that? Because if you do not stick to His Word, you're going to end up in the byways and the parkways and way out of line. There will be others claiming to be God before the end comes. And why is it so very important that we sound the alarm, that people are not deceived? You know, our Father was so good through the Word to give us all kinds of clues. But He expects you to study them in the simplicity in which He brings them forth, without the traditions of men making void His Word, whereby you stay in His Word and thereby receive His blessings. Let's go to one of the beautiful places He gives us fair warning. Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1 reads, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, and of course, Jeremiah means whom Yah has appointed. He chose Jeremiah before he entered his womb. He's one that he let you know in chapter 1, verse 1, I knew you before you were in the mother's womb, in that first chapter. So he was very definitely appointed. Verse 2, but he says, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. I mean, you pour it out to them. Now, here's why you want to stay awake. Verse 3. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all of his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. In other words, if you noticed, the name Jeremiah here, though it still translates whom God has appointed, has a different father than the author at God's hand of this book. Because the Jeremiah who is the writer of this book is the son of Hilkiah. And Hilkiah in the Hebrew tongue is, God is my portion. But this particular Jeremiah is the son of Habazaniah, which is to say, Yah, the light of Yahweh. Boy, they could take on some real names. Now, you all know that the house of the Rechabites are the Kenites. Your chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, lets you know that the Kenites came to Jerusalem for protection. They were already, at that time, scribes for the tribe of Judah. Not of the tribe of Judah, but doing scribeship for Judah. How many of you would like to have a Kenite keeping your books for you? That's why scholars have to be very careful. You have to pay close attention. God will allow them to mislead you if you so choose to be misled. That's why you pay close attention to what it is your father would tell you. Verse 4, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igladiah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. They were princes, had a right to be there of the true house of Israel. Verse 5, and I set before the son of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, And I said to them, drink ye wine. Verse 6, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither shall ye nor your sons forever. Now, this is one of the ways you can tell a true Kenite, one that is really steeped. They will never touch wine for a very simple reason. Why? Well, let's take the name Jonadab. Do you know what it means in the Hebrew tongue? It means Yahweh the greatest, claiming to be the highest God of all gods. So they really tag names onto themselves. And they believe it. But there's one big difference. When Jonadab gives his children orders, they follow them, if they're a true Kenite. Otherwise, they might do as our people. They disobey God, disobey our father. They never disobeyed their father. And so with this one carrying this name, Yahweh greatest, Jehonadab. Verse 7, neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land wherein you be strangers. Do you know where this comes from? It comes from Genesis chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Right to who? Cain. Cain was told by God, I hear your brother's blood crying from the earth, and never will the earth produce for you. Now, it is true that Kenites own property, and they produce fruit, but they have a totally different people tending them and growing them, even to this day. It's one of those little things in God's Word. May not seem all that important, and yet it's very important, because you must obey the Father's word. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the traditions of men, and they make void the word of God. And deception is knocking on your door. Verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. And so they will not. Verse 9, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. Again, why? Genesis chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The land will not produce for them. It is a cursed place there by God. It will never change for them. But they do have ways of using other peoples and to bring forth fruit. Verse 10, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Now this impresses our Heavenly Father. Why would it impress him? Well, his kids won't do that. They will not follow every word he says. And he is that word. It upsets him. It disappoints him. It hurts him that he could not have the honor of having his children obey his word as well as they are willing to obey the word of, if you get right down to it, Satan himself. This is why Jesus would say in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He was talking to these same people. And they don't drift from it. They hold that line. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians, So we dwell at Jerusalem. We're safe there. We're in the land of Judea, and we become Judeans by geographical identification. And there are still the scribes for the tribe of Judah, in part. It takes a pretty good scholar, but you don't have to work too hard to find their scribeship. Verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instructions to hearken to my words, saith the Lord, and Yah being that word. Verse 14, The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment, notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you hearken not unto me. You won't listen. Many people will not listen because they're drawn away by religions that would say, you don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. Well, God didn't say that. But man does. Now, who do you follow? Do you want to follow he who is judge, or do you want to follow the traditions of men? Because many of you that are students of God's word, you know what happens if you follow those that say you're going to be gone. Because they're not aware that six comes before seven. The Antichrist appears at the sixth trump. And the true Christ doesn't come until the seventh. And what is the false Christ message? Probably I've come to carry you away in one form or the other. And inasmuch as he's supernatural, if you're not steeped in the word of God, it's pretty easy to be deceived. Verse 15, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Too busy, just can't get around to it. You'd better find time, my friend, because we're running out of time. The hourglass is tipped, and the sands of time are running out. And God has been so kind that he would send you every warning in many different ways. Verse 16, Because the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened to me. They won't listen. Verse 17, Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. This is why it's so important. If you want God's blessings, if you want your prayers answered, you will do it his way. Or he doesn't mind pushing you off to the side. If you can be had by the false teachings and everything else, when he sends you the true word and makes it very clear that he is that word, then what do you have coming to you? You'll get it. You don't have to worry about it. It won't be pleasant. God will allow you to become disillusioned, deceived, and misguided. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, listen carefully, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. I mean, you followed it to the letter. 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. And this is why that the enemy themselves have leadership, guidance, they've got it together to overcome, unfortunately not to do a good thing. But because of that fact that they discipline themselves in following what their father would have them do, God respected that and said, hey, I'm going to allow them to always have a leader that will be successful. Why? They're kind of the negative part. This is not the last time they appear. They appear many times in God's Word. But the point being, can you be had by them? Let's go. There are many that will come claiming to be God. But especially Satan himself, in one role or another, he plays many roles. He has his own triune Godhead. He has the dragon. He has the false Christ, Antichrist. And he has Satan. He plays the whole roles. And each one of them, he plays quite well. Well, for one thing, God promised, your children obey you so accurately, you'll never want for a man to stand before you. In other words, to take leadership, to deceive, to misrepresent. And this is why your ear needs to be sharp, that you can recognize them. They are false if their word doesn't align with this word, that is to say, the word of God. Is it possible that many will claim, this Jonadab claimed to be greater than God? Do others claim that? Well, go with me to Daniel chapter 11. Verse 36. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. This is one that will come at the sixth trump, not the seventh. The true Christ, if you've studied God's Word, comes at the seventh trump. The false one comes at the sixth. Verse 36 reads, and the king, this fake, shall do according to his will, not the will of God. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be. Not maybe, not perhaps, it's going to happen. The thing is, are you geared for it? Does it affect you whatsoever if you're in the shadow of the living God? Absolutely not. You're disciplined in the Word, and the Word is God. He knows how to take care of his own if they obey him. Now, no one is perfect, but if you try to your very best to understand and follow him, he's going to mark it approved. And not judging in his place, but he's a fair judge. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. He's even going over that. Nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. And you know what? There will be so ever many people that will follow him. Why? He's going to pay off all the bills. I don't know. Do you have friends, if they had their bills paid off, might follow somebody that said, follow me? You know, he's coming in prosperously and peacefully. And that's going to deceive many people. Verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Skip to verse 43. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans, the Ethiopians, that goes up into Africa, and they shall be at his steps. This makes up his locust army that he uses. Verse 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. He's going to just take them right away. Will he get away with it? Verse 45, and he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. God will destroy him when the time is right. That'll happen at the seventh trump. But what will you be doing during that time? That's what's important. This lecture is mainly for people in the broadcast audience, because there are so many people deceived in the world today by listening to man and his conditions of salvation. You just got to believe and you're going to fly away. Don't study God's Word, especially the book of Revelation. You don't need to understand it. You're going to be gone. Gone to hell if you're not real careful. God did not say, I've got a lot of time on my hands. I will write my Word. I won't be the Word, so you do with it whatever you want to. That's basically what they're saying. God said, I am the Word. I am that I am. He expects discipline. He has disciplined himself, and he expects you to practice that discipline. Let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, chapter 8. I'm going to go with verse 5. We're going to get a little bit of Paul's teachings here. What did Paul warn about? You know, a lot of people would say, well, Paul wasn't one of the original disciples. You ought to discount him. Well, according to the book of Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 3, he gives credentials to Paul, so you'd have to throw out Peter also. So don't listen to fools, is what I'm telling you. Verse 5, chapter 8, 1 Corinthians. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. There's before the end. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There is no other way. He's the door to the sheepcot. That's where sheep belong. And his teachings, the word, is what gets you into that place of rest, common sense, and peace of mind. Verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. Well, I can tell you they don't study. That's the reason there's not that knowledge in every man. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. What this is saying here, Paul is saying, hey, if we got a ribeye steak and some heathen says we're dedicating this to Yonah, King Tut-Tut, okay, you all heard of him. You know, the biggest idol king there ever has been. Well, you know the idols don't exist. They're nothing. So eat the steak. Unless there's somebody weak around that would not understand, then forbid. Okay? But it's not going to hurt you because there are no idols. They're a chunk of rock, a stick, and a lie. And there's nothing for you to fear but fear itself when you get ensnared in that. He said, you go ahead and eat it. Okay. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. In other words, it won't make any difference one way or the other. But this is what you be careful of. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours, this right of yours, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You never want to do that. You have to look out for the weak. But to yourself, there are no idols. They don't exist except in people's minds. There's only one God, our Father, and He is God of all. People will make up their little gods, but they really don't exist other than Satan himself. And he can be dangerous. You know, when I look around today and I see people and I hear people, I think of Acts chapter 17. Let's go there. You all remember Mars Hill. I mean, these people were so religious, they worshiped everything that moved. But there was one thing they did not worship, and that was Almighty God. They had no conception. And in a way, you can see people today like that. They are told so many things from so many denominations that they cry out, what are we to believe? It's real simple, the Word of God. You can always believe His Word. It's not that complicated that one can understand in the simplicity in which he brings it forth. But Paul went up to this place, kind of like you going out into the world today, among people of this denomination, that one, this one, the other one. They've all got their little things, and that's fine. That's wonderful. I'm not judging them. But a lot of times they don't study the Word of God. That leaves you in a big hurt. Because there's some things about to happen that if you're not careful, the whole world's going to go after the false one. But here, Paul looks at him and he says, you men of Athens, I'm reading verse 22. I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. You're not religious. You're superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Can you imagine that? Whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Man can't build him a house.
Well, you don't understand, brother. Our church is his house.
No, no, no. He'll build his own. He has his own. It's a nice place to meet and so forth. Fine. 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. From him comes all things. Now, what can we say on these things? How many people do you suppose will be deceived? Well, if God says, I am the Word, and I will tell you all things before they come to pass, then if you really want to know, all you got to do is read it. Okay. Do you know where you find about how many? Chapter 13, the great book of Revelation. Let's go there. Verse 3, You all remember this place. This is where you see a one-world political system rise from all the world governments, but it receives a deadly wound, not to some man, but to the very system itself. In this day and time, you shouldn't be too excited or think it's too far stretched to know that a government can receive a deadly wound, okay? Because all you got to do is look around yourselves. Verse 3 of chapter 13, how many? And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. This is a government system, not a man. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All they wondered after the one world political system when old prosperous one comes back, pays off all the bills, Big Daddy is in town. Okay. 4, and they worship the dragon. That's one of Satan's names. Documentation, Revelation chapter 20 or Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. That's one of his main names, which gave power unto the beast, the one world system. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against who? Against your Father, against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He just really opened up. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, because it was a one world system. But do you know something? The only reason he had power over the saints is where they could witness against him. Next verse is why we came here. And all, now wait, how many was that? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And of course, that takes in the very fact of those that have taken the blood of Christ and mean it and study his word. You have true salvation. He can't touch you. And in the first place, you're not going to be deceived by him. You have discipline in the word of God in the very simple way. That should anybody be hung up on how we get back together with Christ? They shouldn't be. God explained it where one of the youngest children in this room could understand it. Do you know where you find that out? Otherwise, all of them, not part. You give me a bunch of people and offer to pay off all their bills and give them immunity, and you know what they will do. They have no credits and do not know what to believe. Why? They haven't been taught, for one thing. That's why we go to the trouble to bring forth the word of God and the fact that you want to believe his word if you want his blessings. There's no way that you will ever have peace of mind if you don't come to the Prince of Peace, that is to say, the Savior himself. There is one place that even children can understand, and it's the very place that many people have set up most of their confusion. And it happens to be, I'm sure most of you know where I'm going, 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, we read in chapter 2, and this will be the closing scriptures. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now that isn't complicated. A child can understand that. Want to talk to you about Christ's second advent? That's when he comes back, so that nobody can confuse you. so that you can understand, and by our, that includes you, gathering back to Him. This is how it's going to happen. That is put forth in such a simple way that there's no excuse for not understanding it. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us. Don't you let 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 throw you about rapture doctrine. I'm only talking about where the dead are there. Don't let that fool you. As that the day of Christ is at hand. It's not there. I'll tell you where it is. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, you don't have a multiple choice on son of perdition. Perdition means to perish. There is only one person by name that has been promised to perish, and that's Satan himself in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. So we're talking about the devil, the dragon, Satan, Lucifer, Antichrist. I don't care what name you want to give him, what role, that's who the son of perdition is. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, how many people, he's paying off the debts, he's brought world peace, he will do that. Called one worldism. And many people look forward to that. They just want that one world. Let everything be green. And let the earth rotate. And all we have to do is sit back and enjoy the sunlight. Well, you just leave one thing out. That's the Word of God. That's not the way it's going to happen. We have this one coming. He's evil. His name is evil. I don't care what language you want to say it in. If you want to go into other languages, Greek and Hebrew, Apollyon in the Greek means destroyer. Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue, his name means destroyer. He destroys and he looks to kill. He wants company. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. When we just sit around and talked, we brought this up several times. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the Greek verb here is transitive, meaning let he who what. Okay. A transitive verb means you go back to verse 4. Transfer back to 4 to pick up the subject, which is nothing but Satan. Okay. And who watches him now? Michael does. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Michael and his angels guard Satan and hold him until it's time to kick him out. And that's when our trouble here on earth begins. But we can handle it. Why? Because we're disciplined in the Word. We know it's going to happen. And we know what we must do as it is written. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even that's the seventh trump is now blown. And the true Christ has returned. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, even the role of Antichrist is going to be blotted out, done away with. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There's only one Savior. Now, what did it say back in verse 1? I want to talk to you about our getting, Christ's returning and our getting back together to Him. This is the way it happens. Don't ever let anyone take this away from you. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God would do that, you bet. You know, He has tried. He has sent teachers. He has sent prophets down through the years. We have them to study, to show ourselves approved, where you're not caught up in this mess, whereby you're above board from it, and you have the freedom and the discipline that you have power even over Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. You have that. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's no pleasure in unrighteousness. But a lot of people are going to enjoy that short ride. Why? They haven't studied the Word. No one should be deceived. We have many denominations, and praise God for every one of them, because it does at least bring forth the Word. But we don't have that many people that teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Which, that's God's Word. You see, that is God. And God wants you to follow that Word in the simplicity in which He brings it forth. He loves you, and He does not want you to be deceived. But if you choose to be, He will certainly allow it. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for giving us the platform we have to take this message to the world, to the unlearned, Father, that they may be blessed in hearing the simplicity of Christ's teachings, the road to salvation and eternal life. We thank You for that in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, Yeshua, His Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The mark of the beast on